Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at the mortgage crisis in the Silver State as it continues to rampage. We'll talk to Jeff Giles, attorney at law. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Leslie Pittman and Sean Carey. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how the roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Addy, you think we'll be cowgirl someday?
You're darn tootin'. Maybe we'll even win buckles.
Yeah.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. It all starts with Bulls as Extreme Bulls kicks off 10 nights of Reno Rodeo starting June 16th.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program for the first time attorney Jeff Giles. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good. You specialize in mortgage foreclosures. Tell us how bad the crisis is in the state of Nevada right now.
Well, the crisis is the worst in Nevada compared to the rest of the states. However, there is evidence to suggest that it's easing up a little bit, although I'm dubious. They talk about a double-dip recession, and the Fed Beige Book suggests that there were a lot of five-year ARMs written in 2006, which are going to adjust this year. And I think that's going to cause some distress, because when people's mortgage payments double, they're going to have trouble paying them.
We have a mortgage mediation program in the state. How well is this working?
It's working very well in the sense that it stopped the roller coaster of foreclosures. It puts the brakes on. Ultimately, we're not getting as many permanent modifications as really need to be out there. But the statistics suggest that it's working very well. In fact, I was at a presentation yesterday where Judge Hardesty of the Nevada Supreme Court showed what it's been doing for the last 18 months, and it was a pleasant surprise. Although the legislature has just passed a new law that's going to change a lot of what AB 149 is all about, and that's on the governor's desk, and we'll see if that gets enacted.
And what would that do?
Well, it's going to do a lot of things on the inside. I think it would be, you know, if I tried to explain it to you, you'd probably wonder, what am I talking about? Because it changes some presumptions, it changes the duties of the mediators, and it kind of ties down the loose ends of the whole process. We had a little working group session earlier this year with Barbara Buckley, and I suggested to her that maybe we should let the court iron things out and not tinker with it right away. But this bill's on the governor's desk, and when I called down there yesterday, they were very tight-lipped about it. You know, we'll find out when he signs it, if he signs it.
You know, it's been interesting because the two judges that deal with bankruptcies in the northern and southern portion of the state and are the ones responsible for the mediation process have been loath to get involved in actually forcing banks to come to the mediation process.
Well, of course, bankruptcy judges don't do that. It's the district judges.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct.
District judges are assigned the cases, have worried about whether or not it's going to be constitutional. The contracts clause and the takings clause in the U.S. Constitution suggest that it's not allowed, and that's what all the banks' lawyers have, you know, argued so far. However, this new law does talk about specifically reducing principal balances on these mortgages if there are certain bad conduct done by the banks. And that's the holy grail of this whole business, because the banks are pretty willing to reduce interest rates, stretch out the duration, you know, make the house affordable, but they're not willing to give up their money. They're not willing to reduce the principal balances, at least not generally. You see it occasionally, but it's rare as hen's teeth, as they say.
Why is it that with the houses so much underwater, even wealthy people's houses are so far underwater, that the banks are not willing to work with the homeowners?
Well, that's the whole issue. When you refer to banks, you're referring to a generic class of Wall Street entities. And in 99% of the cases, the bank that you send the money to each month is not the person or the entity that actually owns the paper. It is some other company. It's a Wall Street REMIC, real estate mortgage investment conduit. And they have a written agreement between the servicer who collects your money and the owner of the note, and that's where the tension is, because the servicer, if he makes too much of a modification, gives you too good a deal, then the owner of the note comes and says, oh, you made a mistake, you broke our deal, you buy the thing back at par. And of course, that's a huge loss for the servicer, that is the bank that you're dealing with. One of the things that people say is that the loan, you know, it's been sold five times in the last year, and that's really not what's going on. The loan is only ever sold once, and that's about a month after it's originated. And over the course of the 30 years or whatever, the servicing of that loan, that is the collection of it, switches from bank to bank to bank for a lot of reasons. And that's not the sale of the loan, that's just the servicing. That's a process that's defined under federal law.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Jeff Giles when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time. Get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. These are the classic songs that live on forever. Get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream, and always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with an expert in the foreclosure business, attorney Jeff Giles. Jeff, one of the things that goes on with these mediations and what's supposed to occur is that the owner of the loan is supposed to be present, correct?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the big bone of contention right now. The statute says, you know, the beneficial interest holder, which is the owner, or his representative, and that's the $64,000 question, because the servicers, the bank that you pay the money to each month, they always show up and say, we're the representative, but in fact, they have a conflict of interest built into the equation, which puts their dollars ahead of the guy that owns the note.
Okay, explain that, would you?
Well, the guy that owns the note would rather not have a foreclosed property or half the value paid to him in cash when it's sold at a foreclosure sale. That's just a fact. But the bank that's collecting the money has got a vested interest in doing just that, because if it forecloses because the homeowner hasn't paid a few months, then it gets to take and ship that money off to the holder of the note and say, oh, I'm done. That's what my contract provided for, and we're done with that. However, if the bank modifies the note and they do it in such a way that impairs the rights of the REMIC, the owner of the note, then there's a repurchase clause in the contract that comes to point into play, and the bank has to buy the thing back. Now, what's so funny about this, and this was the part of the equation I don't understand, the Congress passed a safe harbor, and this safe harbor applies to any bank that signed up for the TARP monies, and that's all of them. I mean, right, virtually all of them. But they will not use the safe harbor. They pretend it isn't there, and every time I get a chance to talk to one of the execs at one of the banks, I ask them about that, and I haven't gotten a good, consistent answer, and I don't know what it is. I could guess, but that's really the $64,000 question, and that's the gaming of the system that's going on, because the representatives always go to these mediations, and they say, well, I have full authority. What does that mean? Well, it means full authority. Well, describe the parameters of the full authority. It's full. You know, and it's one of these, you say it enough, maybe somebody will believe it. And that's really, I see that as the main stumbling block to this program. And this matter has been taken up to the Supreme Court in a number of appeals, and we're waiting for the court to come down with a ruling on just what that means and how that's going to affect things. It's interesting to note that there are 40 appeals of district court orders on the mediation process, and all 40 were made by homeowners. So there's not one case where, you know, the district courts did something the banks didn't like, and the banks appealed. So you can kind of see where this whole thing is going, and I expect the Nevada Supreme Court to address that really quite squarely in the near future. Probably by Labor Day they'll have a lot of these things decided.
One of the problems is that the way that the whole system is operated was that in the old days, 30 years ago, you got a loan from your bank to buy your house, and that's who you paid it back to. And, you know, you had a relationship, and if there was a problem, you could work it out. Now, with all these mortgages being bundled together, it's almost impossible to even find out who the owner or owners are. It may be thousands of people.
That's right. That's the problem. That's how the industry constituted itself after the savings and loans all collapsed back in the Reagan administration. And this is a brilliant way to raise money, to raise lots of money for the mortgage market. However, it only works when the property values are going up. When they start to decline and people start dumping their houses for whatever reason, the whole system comes unglued, and there's nothing to do about that but abandon the system and go back to some other form of banking. But bankers, they don't want to commit to long-term low rates of interest and have to pay short-term rates to keep those funds covered. And that's why bankers don't write mortgages anymore. Local banks, they'll write them, but they immediately bundle them off and ship them. And right now, that secondary market is very thin. There's very little lending going on, and the only lending going on that I know of is government-guaranteed lending with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae stepping in. I don't think you're going to see private money get back into this for a while, because there's just so many bad bonds out there. The Treasury, the Federal Reserve, bought $1.25 trillion worth of this bad paper. I mean, if you, it's unimaginable that, you know, the country didn't go crazy and there wasn't a hue and cry when that happened, because that just devalued the dollars of everybody in the country when they did that. But it almost went unnoticed. It was part of the troubled asset recovery program that happened under Bush back in 08.
And now the government had the hemp modification program. Do you think that that's been a success?
Well, to a limited extent. It was supposed to modify 5 to 6 million home mortgages in the first year. It did about 10% of that. So it's been called a failure. But in point of fact, there are lots and lots of people that have gotten successful hemp mortgages approved. And to that extent, you know, there's maybe 750,000 nationwide. The program has worked. In fact, I've got a number of clients where we've got permanent hamps. And surprisingly, some of the banks, because they're so big and the one hand doesn't know what the other one is doing, even though the person has a permanent hamp, a different department in the bank will start foreclosure. And that's very troubling. There was a piece in one of the trade publications recently that said something like 24% of the permanent hamps across the country had fallen into trouble, not because the homeowner wasn't paying, but because the bank foreclosed or misapplied the funds or didn't know what to do with them. And that really is something that has to be addressed. And I know there's class actions that are being brought on that. And it's a very severe problem.
Last question. Do you think the Supreme Court will be able to solve the constitutional question of the modification so that the district judges will be able to go forward with this?
I think they'll come down with a ruling that will tell them what they can and cannot do. The question then is, what will the U.S. Supreme Court do with that? Because there's a whole body of case law starting during the Great Depression that defines, you know, what can and cannot be done. The U.S. Supreme Court threw out the Fraser-Lemke statute back in 1934, which allowed farmers to write down the value of their farms to current market rates. So the reduction of principal might be questionable from constitutional standpoint, but because the legislature has enacted that, it certainly will be fun to see how it develops.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. We'll welcome you back to talk more about this. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
They treat the most complex cancers at Nevada's only Institute for Cancer with triple accreditation. They work hand-in-hand with the world-renowned cancer team at the UC San Francisco Medical Center to bring the most advanced cancer treatments and clinical trials to our region. And they help during the difficult times following a cancer diagnosis. They're the expert hands you'll find at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. Learn more at remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
The kiddies are taking over America's Got Talent.
My name is DJ Faith. Oh.
I write songs for dead people.
You'll cherish.
Here, this is a song for you.
He was such a good man. Lord, why you have to thank him so soon?
New America's Got Talent, Tuesday and Wednesday on NBC.
When accidents happen, where can you turn? Galloway & Jensen, one of Reno's finest personal injury law firms. Bob and Graham have over 50 years' experience defending folks just like you. They know how insurance companies defend claims. They know how they'll evaluate your injury. And they know when to take them to court.
Why go it alone against the insurance companies?
Call us today. We'll fight for you.
Call Galloway & Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Sean Carey is here, the consultant and community activist and columnist for the Reno News and Review, and Leslie Pittman, principal with Sierra Strategies. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
You look like you both recovered from the session.
Barely.
We're alive.
Okay, let's start out with this, because this is the top of the news this morning as we start to tape this, and this is from News 4's Melissa Carlson. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld a Nevada ethics law governing when lawmakers should abstain from voting on official business. The court ruled today to uphold the application of a law against Sparks City Councilman Mike Kerrigan. Kerrigan voted on Malaysia 8 Casino Project along Pyramid Highway, even though his campaign manager, Carlos Vasquez, served as the project consultant. The state Supreme Court originally struck down the law, saying it violated Kerrigan's free speech rights. How unusual and historic that the United States Supreme Court would overrule the state Supreme Court.
I definitely think that there's a big story here. It's going to be really, really interesting to read the ruling and see what they're actually going to say and what the punishment for Mr. Kerrigan is actually going to be, because this could be very groundbreaking for our political process.
You know, and it's interesting because in a state like Nevada, where we have mostly citizen legislatures and in a lot of cases citizen city councils and county commissions, people are going to have to really watch their relationships.
I agree. And like Sean, I mean, I haven't read the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion, but I'm not clear whether Mr. Kerrigan disclosed and then went ahead and proceeded to vote on the project anyway. That happens a lot, certainly in Carson City, where you have folks getting ready to vote on the floor on a certain matter, but they stand up and disclose it. They have a relationship or there's some meaningful interest in whatever might be voted on, but then they go ahead and vote on anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how that ruling trickles down to impact what happens at the local, at the state level as well.
And disclosure is not enough.
Correct.
Let's talk about what's going on in the Assembly over the next couple of years, which is we're going to need a new speaker because John Oseguera is termed out. Debbie Smith's name has been thrown out there. Marcus Conklin, the majority leader you would think would be the natural person, but apparently not. And then this morning in the RJ, Marilyn Kirkpatrick's name surfaced. Your thoughts on this?
Well, for starters, the first name I would say, of course, would be Debbie Smith. She's up north, and I don't think that she's going to turn around and remodel the speaker's office again. Hopefully.
She'll leave the gym there.
Yeah, she'll leave the gym there. She'll leave the office the way it is, and then she would actually, I think that Debbie Smith, out of the three of them, that Debbie Smith would be the one I would think would be the best.
Leslie?
Well, Debbie served as Speaker Pro Tem this session and did a fabulous job at the podium, most definitely processing the bills when the speaker was absent. I think, you know, it's going to be up to how the votes come down within the caucus at the end of the day. Democratic caucus and then, of course, the Republican Assembly caucus. One of the things that lobbyists steer clear of is participating in any sort of leadership wrangling. So it'll be interesting to watch. I think it's going to be, Debbie and Marilyn are very close friends. Debbie showed that she could certainly...
Well, they actually shared an apartment in Carson City.
Yes, and have several sessions. So, and then, as you said, Marcus is the majority leader, so he would be the expected person who would step into the speaker's shoes. But I think, again, it's all going to be up to, who raises the most money for other races throughout the legislative interim, and then who can rally up the votes and support among the caucus members.
You bring up a very interesting point there as far as the finances go. Does this have to be a north-south deal? Can't we get to the point where, we just think in terms of the state?
No.
Why?
Considering the majority of the population and the tax base is still centered in Clark County and in Southern Nevada, I mean, we still need to be able to take a look at the fact that the North needs to have a little bit more of a boost so that we can have some equal representation.
Okay, now you moved from Southern Nevada to Northern Nevada. How do you look at that?
Well, I just, I think there's been a lot of discussion about this in the waning days of session. At the end of the day, Reno got a number of projects in at the end, for the bowling stadium, for retrofit for the Reno Aces, and Southern Nevada was left without any arena project, and those were pretty hard-fought battles, but at the end of the day, the North won what they were looking for, and the South did not. So
now, is this a question of organization? Because that's been the rap before, is that it's not so much that the North has so much power, but they're better organized.
Well, that may be the case in terms of the delegation. Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that may be the case. It's a smaller citizen. half a million people in northern Nevada. I'm kidding you. But, you know, they may be better organized. Maybe because they're a smaller community, maybe work together a little bit more strongly than the folks in the South. I can't figure out what went awry on that at all.
Well, maybe it was just all in the last few days of the session.
That, and I think, you know, Sean and I were talking about this earlier. At the end of the day, the legislature wanted to do something to create jobs. They wanted, and once the toll road bill was resurrected to allow for some construction jobs for that project, I think other options kind of quickly fell by the wayside.
Okay, just we've got about 30 seconds. Your thoughts on the CD2 debate, the first one coming up. I get the honor to moderate on Wednesday night. Kirk Lippold, Greg Brower, it's going to be a very interesting debate there. Mark Hamaday, of course.
I think we have the establishment guy. I think we have the loose cannon. I think we have the dark horse. And I actually, having interviewed all three of them for the Reno News and Review, I think there's finally we can choose between some eminently qualified, upstanding, fine gentlemen. And I think all three, any one of the three, whoever gets the nomination, Central Committee, I think will serve the Republican Party well on the ballot in November. In September.
You get the last 10 seconds.
My perspective on, I have not met Mr. Lippold. Senator Brower is certainly considered by many a statesman, and former Senator Hamaday certainly has the support of many in the party. So it'll be interesting to watch this race pan out.
All righty. More to come. Thanks very much, you guys. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
You already know, Evergreen is far and away the finest carpet cleaning service in northern Nevada. However...
You know, I wish you guys could do something with wood floors.
I'm on it.
Huh?
Now, complete cleaning of all wood floors, only from Evergreen Carpet Care. We've got the expertise and the specially designed machines to safely clean your wood floors down to the original luster, and we can even refinish them.
You did it!
Like I said, I'm on it.
For the ultimate in cleaning, it's Evergreen Carpet and Wood Floor Care.
The kiddies are taking over America's Got Talent.
My name is DJ Faye.
Okay. Plus, a tribute.
I write songs for dead people.
You'll cherish.
Here, this is a song for you.
He was such a good man. Lord, why you have to thank him so soon?
New America's Got Talent, Tuesday and Wednesday on NBC.
At Career College of Northern Nevada, we take pride in the tremendous amount of success our graduates attain.
I have recommended it to many of my friends.
I would definitely recommend a CCNN student to other companies.
CCNN offers career training programs and associate degree programs to prepare you for a successful and fulfilling career.
I chose CCNN because I wanted something short and quick. They helped me with placements in the job that I have today. They pretty much pushed me.
You'll receive hands-on training that gives you the experience employers are looking for. Our goal is to ensure you can enter a career training program to help you achieve your educational and personal goals.
I have three kids and I really needed income.
I feel very successful and I owe everything to Career College of Northern Nevada.
If you'd like to begin a new career in health information technology or any of CCNN's programs, and if you're ready to be our next success story, call now.
On our next broadcast, parents helping kids with their education. We'll be right back.